Good morning, everyone. Thanks for coming by on a Sunday morning. I think it's my first time that I've been here on one, and we get to see each other early in the week this time. I'm going to go into pathways that pests come into. And as the title indicates, it can be across our borders, or it could be coming in from the maritime or airline methods and pathways. What do we mean by that? Well, a pathway is any means of dispersing pests, and you can define that as broadly or narrowly as you want. But the idea is that when you look at pathway risk, that is the way to deal with two things: effective pest exclusion and also effective domestic surveillance. Cheryl already went into this, but these are the types of pests that we deal with. We usually break them down into six categories. Sometimes we throw nematodes in with plant pathogens and only make it five, and sometimes we throw mites in with insects and only make it four. But those are the groups that we're dealing with on a regular basis. One of our biological control colleagues, Dr. Van Letteren, put out a paper with a very good introduction back in 1995, and he made some points from the literature, some conclusions about invasive species that I think are pretty eye-opening. And they've been around for a while. Most of us know these, but maybe not all the details. It's very unpredictable as to which pests are likely to get here. We can't seem to predict which ones will have the effects on the ecosystem if they do become established. Effects that we can see anyway. 2% of the accidentally introduced species become established, and that's all. But this one I find particularly disturbing. 65% of the major pests that have come into this country were not known as pests back where they originated. And to me, the classic example coming from the East is the Japanese beetle, which nails some 300 different plants, and many of them quite handily in the U.S., and was under everyone's radar back in the 30s and 40s, and because in Japan it just didn't do anything. And then 7% of animal and plant accidental introductions actually become pest species. Well, we get quite a few a year, so that's a problem. So when you look at all that, and you analyze it, you think about it in the terms that we're looking at, this is why it's important to follow what happens in pathways rather than focusing on individual pests all the time. So a lot of what I have to say today will give you an idea of what it's like to look at those pathways with mainly qualitative type data because of the constraints of inspection and what we're going through. And it'll be inspection data that we're talking about for those of you that have been interested in that. All right, what are the elements of a pest invasion? We all know these, that first there's the potential to enter the country, second the potential to establish, and finally that ability to reproduce and spread if they do become established. When you're looking at pathways, and for the purposes of this talk at least, we're dealing mostly with the facts around entry potential. Cheryl also pointed this out, that there are major pest pathways that we in USDA consider important. Plants for propagation, that's things like nursery stock. Plant products that are not for propagation, things like fruit, vegetables, cut flowers, and so forth. Miscellaneous cargo, we call it that because it's not agricultural and it just encompasses everything else. And sometimes you get hitchhikers in cargoes that have nothing to do with the food supply for the plant-eating insects that we're dealing with. They just happen to get involved in either the packaging or the handling situation, and they end up alive over here because we're pretty efficient at shipping things around the world these days. Plant material carried by international travelers, the baggage situation that was mentioned earlier. And then there's places within conveyances that might harbor pests. The mail is becoming more and more a problem with not only the U.S. mail, of course, but the international express services. And finally, organism imports themselves. So let's look at some of this data a little bit and get some ideas about what it's like and what kind of things we're dealing with, some of which is reiterating some of what Cheryl mentioned. But if you look by month, May seems to be the best month for finding pests, and December is the second best. There's a number of reasons for that. Insects, as you saw earlier, some 78% of our interceptions are insects as opposed to the other pest groups we mentioned. And by intended use of the item, if an item is to be consumed, that's defined as not propagatable, not for propagation, I should say. That about 87% of our interceptions are from goods that would be consumed, not grown, as the intent, and about 7% from propagation. But when you look at that from a pathway standpoint, what do these things mean? Well, with insects, that made sense, that's mostly what we find. They're easier to find than some of the other pests, nematodes, for example. They're also abundant, diverse, and they survive well and have high mobility. So they manage to make the trip and manage to show themselves to inspectors a little more than, say, some plant pathogens who may not be exhibiting their symptoms at the time that they arrive. And then the intended use of the article. If it's for consumption, it gets destroyed one way or another, cooked, eaten, used, and thrown out, that sort of thing. But with propagative material, if the pests come with propagative material, we're doing our best to keep their food source alive after it gets here. So the risk is a bit higher when you're babying the very pathway that brought the pest into the country. So that's something to remember when you look at the data, even when there's 87% to 7% difference in the kind of the numbers of pests that you're finding. All right, what else can we look at in insects? This is data, a lot of this data is from 2000 back. It doesn't change all that much, but I'll point out some of the changes that we have here. The baggage pathway was some 61% to 31, about twice what the cargo pathway was in those earlier years. Airports amounted to more than anything else, with land border second and maritime pathways third for numbers of pest interceptions. But when you look at that, you have to remember again that there are some differences in here. Although cargo is much less half of what baggage is, cargo could be a lot riskier. The pests are tougher to detect, so when you do find one, there may be many others that are involved there. There may be other species you didn't find, for example. Cargo goes out and is shipped to multiple sites. You know, somebody brings a baggage in, they're probably taking it home. But cargo goes all over the place, as we know, and there are large volumes of this cargo, which means large volume. If you're looking at 2% of the cargo that comes in, you know, there's a lot of volume there in terms of pests when you find something that's potentially there to go around the country. And then one of the graphs that Cheryl showed us indicated there's a shift to increasing numbers of interceptions from cargo. And that's the inspection personnel at the Department of Homeland Security are focusing more on the cargo than baggage, because in baggage, actually, you mitigate the pest. If you find something that's not allowed in, if somebody walks in with oranges from South Africa, those are not allowed in without treatments. And so if that passenger has those, that is seized. That material is then destroyed, and the inspectors don't always dig out fruit flies that might be in there and make a record of that anymore. It's because of time, because of the bottlenecks mentioned earlier. So they're focusing more and more on the cargo, and we're starting to get a shift in balance from baggage interceptions to cargo interceptions in total numbers. All right, how about by taxa? Well, Homoptera, in the old sense now, we're mostly scale insects and hoppers we're talking about here. About 37% of interceptions were those. Well, you know, they play the game nicely for you and stay still in the case of scale insects, and maybe show up pretty well on plants too. Diptera was second, Leps and Coleops followed. But then if you wanted to talk about the most diverse at the generic level and at the species level, well, that would be the beetles. Beyond that, pest interceptions by ports. Well, if you took the three biggest ports and threw them together, you'd get about 43% of our interceptions from these very large ports. The border comes in second. Yeah, we went backwards, hit the wrong one. And then finally, the Hawaii and Puerto Rico, they're large programs to prevent the pests on those islands from coming to the U.S. Everything is pre-inspected before it comes over here. And so we kind of treat our own islands as foreign entities in that regard, because there's a different fauna there than what we have, and we need to. Well, when you analyze that a little bit, no big surprise. Larger ports see a lot larger volumes and a greater diversity of commodities, so it's not surprising that they lead in that sense. How about by parts of the world, origins of pests? Insect interceptions from there, if you look at data from 2000 and back, Central and South America had the most of what was going on, with the Caribbean second, North America third, and with North America you're mostly talking Mexico, because most of the things that we get from Canada are members of the subfauna of the United States, and we don't take action for much of anything from Canada unless it's an introduced pest up there that we don't have, for example, or one of our program pests. So Asia was catching up over that period, increasing as it went through. But if you look at the analysis of that, there are volumes of cut flowers, plants for planting, and off-season fruits and vegetables that are grown down in the Americas. And if you look at the Caribbean, there's some of that going on there, especially the fruits and vegetables. In North America and Mexico, you've got cut flowers and things that are grown there on the off-season that are brought up. So that's the reason for these leading the charge, if you will, in insect interception numbers. Little more recent data done by a group of our colleagues looked at UN region, and this was just for wood-boring insects, but it shows some things that are similar to the other interceptions, and that is, you know, areas like Oceania and Africa have remained pretty much the same, but in the Americas you can see the numbers rising almost exponentially since the 90s. And in Asia, you've had an increase starting in the 90s that went down for a while and started to creep up again and is coming through. And our traditional most infective, if you will, trading partner was Europe. And you can see there that the interceptions from Europe have been declining over the years. And that a lot of that has to do with the volumes of trade. All right, how about notable increases where the interceptions have really jumped up over a short period of time? This is the kind of thing that you look for in pathway analysis, because you don't want to get, you know, embedded in your idea of what the problems are out there. You've got to keep an eye out for some new things that are happening, and they do. We saw in before 2000, when you compared 85 to 86 in 1999 to 2000, that interceptions for Peru went up 41%, from Vietnam 24, and some other places had some notable increases. Why those particular countries? Well, it turns out there was, with Peru, it was one commodity, asparagus, that was consistently infested with night moths, noctuid moths. And what it resulted is was mandatory fumigation. It was so bad they couldn't control it down there. We worked with Peru to try to do something about it. That's one of the first things we do when we see a trend coming up, is to notify the country of origin, who our counterparts there, and that National Plant Protection Organization then goes to its industry and they try to do something, because it doesn't help anybody if we're finding pests and rejecting their commodities or treating them, and that affects the shelf life of some things. So, you know, you need to do this sort of thing. And they just couldn't do anything about it, and it ends up that we had to require a fumigation in order to kill these things before they were allowed into the country. And we stopped inspecting as a result of that, except as a monitoring program, because it's all been treated. With Vietnam, it was just normalized relationships that grew over the years after the Vietnam War, and so the numbers previous to that, early in the 80s, were very, very low, and so any increase would jump them up 20-some percent. Well, how about more recently? If you look at the changes between the year 2001 and 2009, for only those reportable, as was mentioned, or quarantine significant insect interceptions, here you find that the big leaders are Colombia, Ecuador, India, and Brazil, with some other countries following up that had some smaller numbers of interceptions. And when you look at that more closely, with Colombia and Ecuador, it is clearly cut flowers. That has become such a problem that with the numbers of interceptions that the APHIS now, my agency, is looking at a federal order that might have to deal with this situation. In India, cut flowers was also, if you look at the interception data, the reason for most of the interceptions that caused the increase. And in Brazil, there were varied commodities. So, you know, you couldn't point at any one group of commodities or anything. But when you looked at trade increases, they increased quite a bit from almost 10 million to 13 million over that period of 9 years. What are the pathways of high concern? Well, nursery stock is always one. As mentioned earlier, we baby this material when it gets here. If the pests are there, they're going to be babied with it. And if they aren't discovered and taken care of before the commodity is released into our nursery trade. So that's always a high priority for us. Cut flowers, I just mentioned, has gone up in concern and always was a pathway of concern. Wood packing materials. We passed ISPM 15, which is the international standard for requiring a heat treatment or methyl bromide treatment of wood packing materials and marking it as such before it's allowed into the country. Unfortunately, there may be a lack of compliance going on. There may be some problems with the treatment that doesn't always work. But it's done all over the world, and those types of things are not always done exactly the way they should be, and we're still seeing wood pests, wood borers primarily coming into the country through that pathway despite the required treatment up front. And lately, fresh herbs has been something that has increased what is coming into the country. There's a large market now. You've seen it in your grocery store. Little packets of herbs are now available, and they're not coming from California or Florida most of the time. They're coming from overseas, and a lot of them are organic. There's a big push for organic stuff now. Well, organic stuff is good for you. It's also good for the pests. And they come along with it and in larger numbers than the non-organic herbs and other commodities that we bring in. So there's some concern there. And finally, a perennial winner is ceramic tiles and quarry products. You think, why in the heck? Well, that's one of these deals where the packaging is a situation such that pests find their way into the packaging and they come over here and there they are just doing well, thank you. It has to do with the way things are handled in the countries that ship these. And also because of some of these are quarry products of snails, mollusks that we're concerned about that are plant feeders are associated with these things pretty often, just crawling up onto the materials before they're loaded into containers to be brought over to the U.S. So that's one of the reasons those numbers are high. Remember that all interceptions are not equal when you're looking into these things. You can tell everything I've mentioned to you. I've given you some numbers, but much of this is qualitative work because as a lot of my colleagues here and at the meetings this week have found out in the past. You look at that interception data that was requested earlier here, and you find that it just looks like a gold mine of information. And believe me, it is, but it's unintuitive as can be. And the reason for that is that it is not collected randomly. It's very biased. The very things I've been talking about in pathway analysis are forcing inspections in certain directions. There are local decisions made, national decisions made. Every one of those decisions biases the data. And that bias then translates to the inability to really look at this too seriously in the quantitative way, and you need to look qualitatively. So one of the things is the short-term and long-term use of an infested item. When you have that situation, it can be very different. If you take cut flowers that are infested and you put them out in the field next to the woods, you've given them a free passage. It's not the same as having them in your house, having them dried out, and then throw them away in a trash bag that's closed up and thrown in your trash can and then in landfill. So you have to look at the long-term use of the intended item and if there is long-term associated with it. The shipment size. The larger the shipments, the more material. We've talked about that, and it's just common sense that we're going to have more problems. And finally, the taxonomic resolution of your pest identification. This is one of the most unintuitive things that we have. Our agency takes action at higher levels if we cannot identify, for example, early immature stages of some pests from around the world. Remember, they're coming from everywhere. So if we don't know which pseudococcid we have, which mealybug it is because it's an early instar, we're going to take action for it in most cases, unless there's been a study to show that that particular pathway is low risk for that family of insects. So when you look at the interception data, it looks like there's all these numbers of interceptions. In some cases, they may represent things that are not really that dangerous to us. But we had to be careful, and we had to be cautious in what we allowed in, or otherwise we were operating blind, and we had to do something about the pathway. This is the little bit of the balance between facilitating trade and pest exclusion that Cheryl also mentioned earlier. So that's one of the more important ones. But despite all these problems, there's a lot of value to pest interception data. The historical record that you get from this is what allows you to look at trends, what allows you to look at pathway analysis. You have to accommodate a lot of things qualitatively because things change through time that may or may not explain it, but that's what you do. And that gives you that ability then to look at what's coming into the country and to see if there are major trends that are going on. You may not be able to fine-tune it all the way, but you can get a lot from it. And I'd just like to acknowledge a couple folks here that gave us some slides, and thank you for listening, and would ask if there are any questions in the last minute or so that we have here.
I always see solid wood packing material as considered a major pathway. What about furniture? Is that interceptions on that?
Our agency made a decision quite a while ago based on a risk assessment that was shared with the states and the Forest Service as to which wood-boring pests we're going to be concerned about. And the decision was primarily made that if the pests attack or are known to attack and kill live trees, that's what we're worried about. So structural pests, not so much, although we cheat a little bit with termites and take action for them whenever we find them. But some of the other things that are slow borers and all that get into process materials like that, we still identify them to see what they are. But in most cases, they turn out to be things that are secondary invaders of wood. Because by that point, they're either dead or they've exited if they're primary attackers of trees. So furniture has not been that much of a problem, but occasionally we find things in it that, they may make wicker things and that sort of thing, and then you'll get a pest that you really can't identify all the way, and it might be something that attacks live plants, so we'll take action for it. So I don't think it's a really nasty one. I think the non-compliance with wood packing material that's fresher, dirty wood that the worst wood they had that's infested as heck is what they throw together to make crates and pallets and things like that. I think that's more like it.